This podcast is supported by Brisbane Economic Development Agency. When Ulta Steel CEO Paul Zuckerman chose Brisbane for Australia's first low-carbon steel mill, Brisbane Economic Development Agency, BEDA, was there from day one.
BEDA was an early relationship for us, and they've just been so supportive. I think they're great at connecting businesses and really just open doors for us.
Brisbane Economic Development Agency connect business, research, and government with opportunity. Search Choose Brisbane for more information.
In terms of what Kathy is wanting to do with her new venture, how does it differ from what her ex-husband, estranged husband, was doing?
Kathy is seeking to target monogenic conditions, so conditions where there is one gene that you can target and change, and for those changes to be made very early on so that the growing embryo does not have this condition and the baby doesn't have it. And that's different from what He Junkui was doing. But there are other ways of achieving the same ends. We can do embryo selection, where we screen embryos created in IVF to see which embryos are the carriers of a genetic condition and implant only the ones that aren't the carriers of a condition. Or we can do gene therapy, where you deliver a therapy after a person's born. And the difference between gene therapy and germline gene correction, which is what Kathy wants to do, when you do gene editing of sperm or of embryos, the changes you make are present in all the cells of the body, including the reproductive cells. So it means that that person and all that person's descendants will have the changes that you make. Gene therapies are very expensive. You have to have a procedure where the medicine is delivered to you. And sometimes that can be painful, and sometimes it can take a long time, but not always. I wrote a book. One of the chapters looked at the most expensive medicine in the world, which is a gene therapy for spinal muscular atrophy, or it was at the time that I wrote it. And spinal muscular atrophy used to be the most common genetic cause of disease for children under two. So it's quite a common disease. And I know that SMA, the gene therapy for SMA, which is called Zolgensma, it costs $2 million a dose, but it is delivered within a few hours. We were having this conversation and Kathy was saying that gene therapy is really bad. It's really expensive, and you have to have chemotherapy. She was talking about this gene therapy for sickle cell. And I said, well, not all gene therapies are like this. For example, Zolgensma, it only takes a few hours to deliver. And she said to me, I'm not familiar with that treatment. And the idea of somebody who is specializing in this area not knowing about SMA, which is an incredibly common disease, and not knowing about Zolgensma, which made headlines around the world, is quite astonishing. So she is either very poorly informed or she's not telling the truth when she says that. It's in her interest to spin this idea that all existing treatments are really flawed, and that the only real answer to stopping children from suffering is to edit the genes of embryos.
Has Kathy got a sense of how much her treatment is going to cost?
She has no idea how much it will cost. I heard her on a podcast saying that it would cost about $20,000, which is the same price as IVF in the US. I put this to her and she basically told me she just made that up on the spot in that podcast. Nonetheless, I know that in America, people are prepared to spend a lot of money on reproductive technology. One of the things that I have found, as somebody who's reported a lot on reproductive technology over the past few years, is the normalization of pre-implantation genetic testing for things like height, for things like not just gender, but things like intelligence. In America, it's perfectly allowed for you to have your embryos screened and tested so that you implant the ones that are most likely to be healthy and tall or have a particular eye color. That is legal, that is normal, but it's also very expensive. It's seen as a sort of enhanced form of IVF. It's increasingly an option for wealthy Americans.
As I'm listening to this as somebody who has undergone IVF, which is essentially what any couples who are wanting to do this would have to go through. And when you have a round of IVF, every single egg, every embryo is so precious. I didn't have any kind of pre-genetic screening. I didn't need to, but the thought of having to discard these precious embryos, I think would have been very painful. So is that one of the advantages that Kathy is selling?
Absolutely. I mean, Kathy's big thing is that pre-implantation genetic testing involves throwing out the embryos that do carry the genes that you're seeking not to, to have in the next generation. And some people don't produce enough embryos. And for some people, every embryo will be affected. You know, each one of those embryos is incredibly precious. And this gives every embryo a chance. It's an extremely emotive, very powerful and legitimate argument for this. When I went to this Harvard debate that she, where she was speaking at, there were people in the audience who are carriers of diseases where all of their offspring will have this condition. So it's a choice between being a parent or not being a parent, this technology.
Family should have the choice. It's about the choice of having the option to correct the genome of their children. And if that's something they want to get rid of in their family, they should have the option to do so. No one's coercing them. But taking that option away when the technology could be ready for them, I think that is a form of coercion on its own, and it's pretty unethical.
Kathy is insistent that she is, at the moment, only looking to stop severe monogenic diseases. So that means things that are dictated by one gene. And things like intelligence and height are polygenic. There's many different genes that, that come into play there. So she says the technology is too difficult for that. The thing that really fascinates me, though, is if she says she's only looking to stop severe monogenic diseases, she thinks the word severe should be defined by parents, not doctors, because she says, why should doctors and ethicists get to decide what is serious enough to use this technology? And you can imagine, not now, but in a time in the future, let's say that you allow gene editing to be used to correct Huntington's disease or sickle cell anemia, that you could have down the line people saying, well, I don't want my kids to have osteoporosis. I want them to have stronger bones. Or I don't want my kids to have heart disease. I don't want them to have high cholesterol. And, you know, that that could be classed as severe. And what about a world in which, you know, the genetic lottery of not being an intelligent person in an increasingly high stakes competitive world, that could be seen as a really unfair defect. If severity of a condition is defined by the parents, you know, you could take that almost anywhere.
Yeah. And how does Kathy defend herself and her method against these criticisms, the ethics, this argument that it's a slippery slope?
She says it's not her problem. She says it's up to regulators and governments to decide where to stop, where to put the guardrails. Her job is to show that the science is safe and efficacious, and that's what she's trying to do. But the rest of it, it's up to democratically elected governments to decide where to draw the line, not her.
Coming up, is it only a matter of time before these genetically edited babies enroll at a nursery near you?
Full Story is supported by EY Parthenon. EY Parthenon is the global strategy consulting practice of EY, working with CEOs, boards, investors, and governments on their most critical decisions. They bring deep sector expertise, an investor mindset, and advanced technology to bring clarity to complex challenges. EY Parthenon helps leaders make better decisions in moments of change, anticipating what's next, finding opportunity in uncertainty, and translating complex shifts into real-world outcomes, turning insight into action. For more insights, go to ey.com/au/Parthenon. EY Parthenon, transformative strategy and transactions. Solutions that work in practice, not just on paper.